This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the second hour of the show starting right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Aaron Raybould in. As Aaron is blitz becomes Aaron is suspect for the next 2 hours. Him, I believe I have hour number two of the 3 hour way back Wednesday in which we dedicate songs to Bill O'Brien, or it'd be a Bill O'Brien playlist at responding to all of his haters.
Fun fact, Mike Kennedy is a guitar player for the All-American Rejects, and the Kennedys are family friends.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, look at that.
Yeah. I didn't know Mike.
Maybe
that
you should
well.
Have him on one of your little podcast extraordinary extravaganza.
He was a wee lad when I was a wee lad. I don't even know if he was born yet when we moved away from the Kennedys and the neighborhood we lived in. It was here in Houston, but yeah. Family. I didn't even realize that he was in there. Karen is a real good friend of my mom's there. She was like my babysitter growing up. And that's her brother. And she, I saw a picture one day on her Instagram. I was like, well, I'll be damned. Look at that. That little fella grew up and did something special. Okay. Back to your positive moment, which, by the way, I would just like to point out that you bitched and moaned and cried that I still had you blocked. And then when I take off the block, you're like, oh, now you do it? Oh, that's when you did it.
Well, it wasn't because you realized the wrongs.
It's never good enough.
No, that's not true. It was because the justification for doing it was more self-serving because you wanted me to see one of your other tweets so that you could do it for the show. It had nothing to do with the right logical reason, which would be this was dumb of me in the first place.
Oh my God.
It's gone on way too long.
You are definitely a work wife. All right, here it is. So. This is the positive moment for you.
Take out the trash when you get a chance, will you, please?
It's a text. Just wanted to say hey and to tell Joel, I love you, man. I was the 979 number you called out yesterday for telling you to take out your tampon, and your reaction had me dying. I'm new to the area from College Station, that explains a lot, and new to 97.5, but you guys make the workday so much better. The content is second to none. Thanks for the laughs and keep them coming. Sorry I started our relationship out on a sour note, Shane. Well, Shane,
you're
a bigger
Shane
man than
Barry
most.
Should learn from you. I was going to say, a bigger man than you. Because if you did what Shane did, everything would be good in the world. See, if you could just do what Shane did and be like, you know what, Joel? We got off on the wrong note with that whole blocking on Twitter thing.
No. Right,
let's just start over. That'd be
did
great.
You ever but apologize no. for correcting my spelling? No. So there
Why?
You go.
First of all, I did
nope.
correct your spelling.
Mm-mm.
I asked you if you
can't
used
hear
the
you.
Wrong word. Oh, I need Nick back.
Why? Oh, you need backup? You need someone to help you? You can't take me on your own?
I just need someone that can see logic and hear logic.
I just hear
see
crying.
It in tweets.
I just hear a
hear
bunch
it.
Of crying.
Okay. You know what?
Big Valkyrie on Twitter said, I'd be okay watching professional sports with no fans in the stadium, but I don't expect the players to put themselves and their families in harm's way for selfish pleasure. Well, again, you go into they're probably going to get tested and all that stuff. So I think they're obviously, I mean, hell, the NBA has probably tested most of their folks anyways. But yeah, I think it would become more dangerous and selfish if you allowed fans, you know, meet and greets and autographs and all that stuff afterwards.
Yeah, and they addressed that right before they went any further with anything else. In dealing with the pandemic is the fact that for the time being, they sent out a memo that said to the players, we're going to tell you right now to refrain from autographs. We're going to tell you to refrain from, you know, getting real close with the fans before and after and during games because of the fact that there are deep concerns about that kind of stuff. And that's not, and all of that is without even mentioning the fact that when we talk about, and I think it was when Christian Wood of the Pistons got it, that they talked about, it doesn't matter the fan interactions or otherwise. He had 62 interactions with Rudy Gobert on the three nights before, you know, Rudy Gobert tested positive, and then he essentially got it. And they said of those interactions, 32 of them involved physical contact. So again, that's why I say the testing is going to have to be so thorough that when everybody checks into the hotel, or even before they check into the hotels, when they get situated, if they are in one central location, the amount of testing that's going to have to be done so that they're not carrying it in with them, which could be a huge disaster and could just spread like wildfire now that everybody's all in confined quarters in hotels and stadiums and in playing fields. I just think
that would be the nightmare scenario,
reward to the league, yeah.
As it happens again, and then they get back too soon, or somebody, you know, because you don't know, you can test, and but remember, it's a 2 to 14 day incubation period, and you may not show any symptoms at all. You may not even have a fever. So your family member goes and ignores social distancing, and gets it and gives it to you. You come to work to play a game, not knowing you have it because you don't show any signs or symptoms because it's day one or day two. You get on the court. Now you expose everybody. And it could just be an absolute nightmare again. So that's kind of – I mean, it's almost like you would have to have a 15-minute test that you give to every player, every official, every person that's there for every single game. The NBA would almost have to invest in a lab, mobile labs for these games. I mean, it would just be that crazy.
Take it a step further too, Barry. So we're talking about – the major areas where everybody's going to be congregating is going to be when the teams are playing in whatever the stadium is and when they're at the hotel. Now, you're basically quarantining all of the players and team personnel. What about the bellboys? What about the front desk workers? What about the people that are going to be have to be – they're employees of the hotel. So if they're deemed essential, they're going to be coming and going. They're going to be going to work every day. And we don't know what they're doing when they're not and who they're in contact with. And again, a lot of these people are asymptomatic, that they never get any of the symptoms, but they test positive. And so a lot of people aren't going to go through the, you know, the hassle in their mind, if they're not feeling symptoms, of going and getting tested. And if you're not testing those people too every single time they come back in, you know, get ready to come into the hotel, you run the risk of, again, in a short period of time, infecting a whole lot of people, and then the games will end up being called off again.
Yep, it's a big risk. It is absolutely a big risk. Hey, I just noticed on Twitter, on the twits, that Kenny Stills is trending, and I was like, why is Kenny Stills trending? Well, Nick Mancio, who has a blue check mark, football, a fantasy football analyst and firefighter / medic. I don't know how he pulled all that off, but thank you for his service. Talks about Aaron Reese, who is a writer for The Athletic Houston. And he said that The Athletic's Aaron J. Reese projects Kenny Stills as the, quote, odd man out among Texans wide receivers, suggesting a trade for a late-round pick or outright release. So I click on – obviously, I can't read the article because an Athletic charges you to read words.
Yeah, I can't either. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. But
no, that's a fact. My trial expired, and Kelly hasn't re-upped me, so I'm not paying for it.
So apparently he said this in his article that I refuse to pay to read, but when I go to Aaron J. Reese's Twitter, it really doesn't say that. It says, following the Brandon Cooks deal with the Texans trade, will the Texans trade Kenny Stills? What's the market for him? I polled the Athletic NFL writers to find three potential landing spots. So maybe he does think that Stills will be the odd man out. He didn't come out and just outright say that on his Twitter. Now, he did come out outright on his Twitter 23 hours ago and say, why this abnormal offseason could spell trouble for Kiki QT, Haley Waring, and the other Texans. Well, Kenny Stills
well,
not on that list. But
I had said to you when all this was going down that I had read an article where they said that the Texans will consider cutting Stills and saving the $7-plus million dollars in doing so. And you and I at the time both said, how do you do that to a guy that was productive and was on the field for the majority? You know, he didn't have the major injury concerns of QT and Will Fuller, and he was consistent and he produced results. Why in the world would that, you know, push you to, except for financial reasons, to push you to go, yeah, here's the odd man out. He's got to go.
Yeah, it's weird because you're like, oh, okay, so you're going to get rid of the guy that played in 13 games because you want to keep Will Fuller around, who's, you know, making more money, by the way. He's right. Making more money. He's got 10 now. Of course, he's got $10 million of dead cap space, so you're not going to you can't necessarily cut him like you could Kenny Stills and free up the $7 million and not have to eat any of it. But Stills played in two more games. He had one more touchdown catch. I mean, the production on the field between the two of them, neither one of them was great. But you realize when they're both on the field and in the game that they're dynamic and they contribute. Now, they're not going to have DeAndre Hopkins to take all the attention away from them either. But I if it's me and I'm looking at cutting one or the other, or who's the – I mean, I guess you have to do it from a financial standpoint. But from a production standpoint, that's a tough call, man, because Fuller just doesn't play. But I do understand the ramifications for the cap. $10 million if you cut – Fuller, zero if you cut Stills. And that's where – that's the hole they've dug themselves.
Yeah, it's not good. And more people are jumping on the bandwagon to call them out on just every move they make, like if they're considering to do this on top of everything else. There's a website called The Score that has an article out today that basically kind of covers what we've talked about in the last week or so, which is that – in their words, O'Brien is quote unquote just fine as a head coach because he's 52-44 and has the fifth best record in the AFC over the stretch of the last six seasons. However, every move that he has made as a general manager and the moves he continues to make have just made him the laughingstock of the league. And, you know, the point after point are things that we've already brought up. But, again, here's more and more. It's just going to continue to keep stacking up that the national perception is your team and your town is a complete laughingstock because of one man, and that man's not going away. So just get used to it because it is going to be the norm in the NFL the way there have been teams in the past, like the Knicks and Dolan have been the whipping boy of the NBA.
Yep. Well,
you know, you're going to be the poster child for complete bumbling idiots in the NFL. And this goes even above, regardless of what you do on the field. Because like we said, if he's just fine as a coach, but you still have Deshaun Watson and you have a quality roster of talent, no matter what you do, as long as you know they play well on the field, people aren't going to poke holes at that, but they're going to continue to go back to, especially if this team plays decent, man, they could be so much better if they had DeAndre Hopkins. Man, well, you know, they could be, if they didn't let this guy go, if they didn't trade this, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, it's just weird because, I mean, the only path forward now is complete, is just cutting. Like, you're never going to get him to just step down from his GM role but still be a coach because you think he's a better coach than he is a GM. At this point, he's got all the power. And now it's up to whether he produces or not. So it's not going to be like, well, you know, these trades suck, but hey, you're pretty good on the field as a coach, so we'll keep you doing one. It's all or nothing, I think. So hopefully that nothing comes sooner rather than later. It's such a catch-22, Joel. Do you really want to root for the Texans to suck so that Bill O'Brien gets fired? Because it could be several years before that happens, which means fans deal with suck for several years.
No, see, I'll say this. I think fans would be on board for rooting for them to suck for 1 year if it got the deal done this year. But if it meant multiple years, I don't think anybody would be on board for that. I think it's very hard to sell that.
Somebody texted the show, Joel's right, he didn't correct your spelling. That person is now blocked.
See? Petty bullying by Barry Lamb.
Well, it's not bullying. It stop it.
Oh, yes, you are.
Before
you're bullying
come over there
the listeners
and push you
now.
Down.
Yeah, you go ahead and try that. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's hour number two of the show. It's my hour for Way Back Wednesday, and we've got plenty more things to go. Oh, boy, Barry, I don't know if you saw this or not, but a certain athlete in another sport decided to speak up about a certain NASCAR driver dropping an N-bomb, and it came with a threat like you just made to me, and it's worth talking about when we get
nice.
Back. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Nick's out, Dell was in, then he took off, and Aaron Rabel picked up where he left off. So we're rolling through a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, myself, and Aaron until 4. Blitz takes until 7. I do want to tell you guys that amongst a lot of the love that is going out, well-deserved, to first responders, including people on the front lines that include EMTs, police and fire, and so many more, ESPN's trying to do their part, along with their partnering local company Garner Oil, to help out and say thank you to first responders and the medical professionals this Thursday. Garner Oil is the Texas distributor of a product called BioPledge. They use BioPledge to treat the interior of vehicles, and it kills 99.99% of the microbes on contact, things like bacteria, viruses, funguses. It actually bonds to the surface, and it keeps killing for 30 to 120 days. It is absolutely perfect for what's going on right now. So this Thursday, they want to treat the vehicles of first responders and medical professionals for free. They're going to set up in the parking lot of Damaris Barbecue, West Loop North at 18th Street from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Damaris is conveniently located, but remember, it is the kind of the Heights location, West Loop North, 18th Street. Takes less than 10 minutes for a vehicle to be treated. So if you're a first responder or a medical professional, bring your credentials. Get that BioPledge treatment for your vehicle this Thursday, Damaris Barbecue, parking lot, West Loop North, 18th Street. Thank you all for your service. I think it's a fantastic gesture on the part of the station and, of course, BioPledge and Garner Oil. But, you know, any way you can thank these people right now, it's much appreciated, and it's very well deserved.
Amen. Really cool. Bye, everybody.
So, you know, it's a topic that we've been talking about this week, and we got into it in quite some detail, and it's probably one of the few times that we were willing to get into NASCAR discussion unless we were force-fed it by Juggalo Trey. But Kyle Larson obviously dropped the N-word in the middle of an iRacing deal this last weekend. And first the NASCAR suspended him, and then Ganassi Racing fired him. And he lost all of his sponsors in the process. So I think that most of the reactions were tame, yet pretty firm. How about this one from former Blue Jay, now Mets pitcher Marcus Stroman? He tweeted out, he should never be allowed to race again in NASCAR. Said that derogatory word so nonchalantly. Your apology doesn't matter. Post-career? I'll fight this man in a UFC event for charity. He needs his ass beat. Would love to hear him say that word in the octagon.
Damn.
As they say, those are fighting words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
Now you're talking about an event that would sell. You're talking about real, true venom.
Aggression.
And aggression, right? Two well-known names. Whether you just know baseball or NASCAR or you're a sports fan. And I'm telling you, aside from washed up drug addict sex fiend guys like...
I'm right here. Oh,
like Saved by the Bell, Screech versus Jose Canseco or some, you know, washed ups like that and doing... Or the Lenny Dykstra versus what with the bagel guy.
Oh,
I would love to see... I'd love to see... Marcus Stroman and Kyle Larson in the octagon. Bring that on.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. The bagel guy. You bringing that up? So glad his 15 minutes is up. Right? I wonder if that dude is just out there trying to yell at people to be famous again. Because I guarantee you. He's not. I mean, I haven't heard anything. That was almost a year. That was what, July of last year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, look, there's so many of those that we go through. I mean, Cash Me Outside got hers.
Well, she's still apparently making money.
I don't know how.
Bad Baby, but she's
Honey Boo Boo got hers. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, internet and otherwise, that get their quick run. I mean, look, the one that's had the longer run that you know is good, is priming for another comeback is LeVar Ball. The big idiot is coming back because his son is somehow, some way has straightened out his jump shot to be a top three pick in this year's draft coming up. And you know he is going to make it all about him this summer once again.
By the way, Bad Baby, the Catch Me Outside girl,
yeah,
net worth $4 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's Honey Boo Boo? Because Honey Boo Boo, that series.
Oh, I bet you it's a grip. I bet you it's an absolute grip.
I bet you're right.
Let's see. Honey Boo Boo net worth. Guess.
12.
Boy, this
is not good. If Cash Me Outside was 5.
4.
Then Honey Boo Boo's got to be at least 10.
Cash Me Outside was 4 mil. Bro, according to thesun.co.uk, Honey Boo Boo is reportedly worth $800,000.
Okay, good. That's not excessive through the roof, really disgusting me. I get it that thanks to reality TV, she made some coin.
As much as they exploited her, and she's not even worth $1 million, that is not good at all.
Well, Mary, a lot of times, you can't be signing things with food stains without having someone of legal representation to kind of rifle through it, because otherwise you could sign a bad deal. They can get all the profits. You better capitalize on the attention because you ain't getting the money, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, they've got pictures of her as she's 11 now.
Is she skinny or is she still?
Huh? I'll let you finish.
Well, I thought for a while there she had lost a lot of weight. She and Mama, I think through surgery, Mama through surgeries, but I thought they both went on either.
Is she skinny or is she still what, Joel? Is she skinny or is she still what?
Wide boned.
It's so stupid. Yeah. Her bones are healthy still.
Okay.
She still has healthy
bones.
Mama
went through, I think, multiple surgeries and trying everything under the sun to lose weight for a long period of time.
Mama's, she needed to get a chinectomy. That was the bad part. It was pretty. But yeah, so apparently there's a picture from May 2017 where Mama is real slim. And so is Honey Boo Boo. She slimmed up. So yeah, good for them. They're getting their life right.
I told you there was a while. There was a period at least where they both slimmed down.
But trust me, as one who knows, it'll all come back.
Well, I mean, isn't that what they were telling you on the podcast the other night?
Yeah.
So the LeVar Ball thing, though. I mean, you know I'm right.
Yeah,
he's coming back.
You are. He's coming back. But there was an article that came out, or a video or something. I don't even know how I saw it. I put it in the doc, I guess, yesterday, but it's really more of a visual. But it showed his house. It was his mansion. Dude, that house is amazing.
The dad or the kids?
The dad. Like, I don't – where did they get all that
money?
So
he moved out of the house that he and his mom had he and his wife had for the boys – that they were always shooting the reality show from. Evidently, when the money got good with the first son being drafted by the Lakers and getting that money, did they upgrade the house then?
I don't know, but he
– oh, Lord, it's huge.
Yeah, it is massive. I mean,
that's a compound compared to what they had, yeah.
Yeah, it's got putty. I mean, it's really nice. But I don't know what his net worth is, because I'm like, how did he get that? That's crazy. Oh, okay, his net worth? 4 mil. Yeah.
See, people just love a train wreck. We started
him and
this
Catch
show
Me
with...
Outside Girl worth the same amount.
People love a train wreck. We started it with talking today about the Tiger King. Between Joe Exotic and I would bet that all three main characters within Tiger King are worth a pretty penny, and we'll probably make more and more because of that show. Then got Honey Boo Boo. Then you got Catch Me Outside. Then you got the Ball family, who essentially, aside from one player in the NBA, I don't know how, the kid who hasn't even been drafted yet bought his team in Lithuania. I mean, where is this money coming from?
Yeah, that's...
idiots that are absolutely locked into the train wreck of reality TV. That's where it's coming from.
Apparently so.
Barry, let's make this show go to reality TV.
Let's do it.
Our only hope. Yep. All right, we got plenty more to get to as we roll through hour number two of the 3-hour show. We're at the midway point, which means first half in the rear view. But, of course, the windshield is big, and that means there's plenty of room for the second half. You can be a part of it, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. I've got some news for you.
I really hate your age right now. See you driving around town. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, second half of The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, 90 in the books, 90 still to go as we get into the second half of the show. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that today would have been Jackie Robinson Day across Major League Baseball, the day that he broke the color barrier way back when and where everybody wears number 42. A lot of people, Rex Ryan this morning wearing his Jackie Robinson jersey on ESPN. Chris Archer going out there and saying, "Dear MLB, if and when the season starts back up, can we have a day where we all still wear number 42. It is my favorite alternate jersey of the year. Pretty please." A lot of people owe a lot to Jackie Robinson. We owe a lot to Jackie Robinson as well. And
this country does.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and so I don't think
baseball.
I just don't want to see the day slide by.
Yeah, sorry. Yep. This delay is crazy.
No, and yeah, it is. And they also, just real quick, the last point I was going to make is a lot of people said that the one thing that he died with, which is a shame, is a broken heart. Because, you know, till the day he died, he was still fighting. And he was still not seeing, you know, everything come to fruition that he wanted to. So rest in peace, Jackie Robinson, and obviously everybody, very appreciative.
Yeah, baseball's always been tied to this country in a oddly, I shouldn't say oddly, in a weird way where, you know, as so goes baseball, so goes society in some ways. And it was a big part of helping this country move forward. And because it was back then when baseball was the sport, like it was everybody's favorite sport. You know, that was back when baseball and boxing and some of these other sports were bigger than football and basketball. And so, you know, for him to break the color barrier was had a bigger impact than just on sports. It impacted people's lives.
Sure it did.
Just, you know, across the country. So, yeah, it's bigger than just sports when it comes to Jackie Robinson, for sure.
No question.
I saw something on Twitter because Grant Hill's name was trending. And I was like, why is Grant Hill trending? Uh-oh, did, you know, what happened? Well, there's a one thing led to another on the rabbit hole. And I saw this tweet from Hoop Central that asked the following question: who would be the best if it weren't for injuries? And I'm going to give you a list of five players. You have to pick one. Who would be the best if it weren't for injuries? Brandon Roy, Tracy McGrady, Derrick Rose, Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway.
I was going to say, you better have Penny Hardaway on that list.
Yeah, those are your five choices. If it weren't for injuries, who would have been the best? What say you?
In my mind, it's Penny Hardaway. I just think, because you can't really put Tracy McGrady on the list, because regardless of what you want to say, he had injuries, he still's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He still had a above-average career and had a lot of success. I think that when you talk about guys, the two guys that are most prevalent on that list, maybe three, Brandon Roy didn't get enough credit. But he also didn't get, because he didn't get enough, be playing in Portland, he didn't get enough media attention. But I think the two guys that come to mind right away are Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway. To me, looking at what Penny Hardaway was as a rookie, I believe, playing in that Rocket series, or in the Rockets saw firsthand all the talent that guy had. And he never got a chance to fully explore and put his talents on stage to where he could compile stats and do what he was capable of doing. To me, he had the most talent of any guy that was ever cut short and never had a chance to really make his mark. Grant Hill still came back, was able to do something, wasn't even close to what he was like at Duke and with the Pistons. But of the, I think it's between those two, and my vote is Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, I don't know that I think the two right answers are Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway. I do agree with you on that. It's funny that Derrick Rose would be, you know, a distant fourth maybe. Because so I was looking at – I pulled up the – because, you know, I think it's Hill and Hardaway and then McGrady, then Rose, and then Brandon Roy, like you said. And, yeah, he's not getting his just due, but at the same time, I don't think he's in the level of those – the top three that we named. But games played for their career, McGrady played in 938. Do you think that Grant Hill played in more or less?
Less.
He played in more. Grant Hill played in 1,026 games. Grant Hill played in more games than Tracy McGrady did. Now, Penny Hardaway only played in 704 games.
I was going to say, so then in my mind, and Penny Hardaway had some fledgling years with the Knicks trying to just catch a check.
Yeah, there was one couple years he only had four games that he played in all year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, Barry, here's another thing. I would take McGrady off the list because of just lifetime achievement. He's still going to be in the Hall of Fame, like I said. He won a scoring titles. He did some things. The guy that I'd put on that list is Yao Ming, because if Yao Ming's career isn't cut short, Yao Ming's a guy that was well on his way, even though he'll get in. He got into the Hall of Fame as a contributor. But when all was said and done, if Yao continued to stay healthy and be as dominant as he was in terms of the shooting touch from all over, from free throw line, the many different moves he had in the paint, I think Yao was a guy that was cut way too short that could have had a really solid Hall of Fame career as a player if he had been able to play that long.
So Tracy McGrady came into the league obviously at 18 years old and played until he was 32. Grant Hill came into the league at 22, missed an entire year. Of course, had a year where he only played in four games and you know, all the other shortened seasons, but played until he was 40, which is, again, a surprise. Yeah. But like you said, he did have some, you know, some seasons where it didn't really matter. He was just there. Hardaway came into the league at 22, played to 36. Yao came into the league at 22. Last time he played was at the age of 30. Played in 486 games.
Yep.
So I could see adding him to that list. You're right. If he would have had 1,000 games like Grant Hill or Tracy McGrady, who knows? I mean, you could double his numbers, and it'd be
no doubt impressive. Because you think about how many big men struggle from the free throw line these days, and he was an 80%+ free throw shooter. I mean, he was nails from the free throw line. He had turnarounds and hook shots, and so much touch around the basket all the way out to where even if the game got to where it was more of a shooter's game on the outside, Yao was capable of hitting face up shots, and I know more than most, having been there firsthand to watch it, but the things that we used to see him do just at practice, and we'd shake our head going, boy, if the whole world knew this and if basketball found a way to exploit this. I mean, he would sit there, even when he had the foot injury, he would take a folding chair and he would put it at the free throw line without using any of his lower body or anything else. He would sit there and still shoot 80%+ from the free throw line and would change hands doing things, and we're just like, it's crazy that a guy that big had that much touch. And I know Rockets fans feel my pain in this and saying that if he doesn't get hurt in that Lakers series, which goes seven games anyway, and paves the way for the Lakers to go all the way into the finals, a lot of things could have been different for this Rockets franchise, because he and McGrady were, you know, the dynamic duo. They had the right role players around them. They had, you know, guys like Shane Battier and John Berry and Bobby, what's his name from Florida State, but they had just the right mix of shooters, intelligent veterans, and that the centerpieces were an inside outside game with Tracy and Yao, that for a while that could be like a 5-year window where the Rockets could have been competing for it every year if he stayed healthy.
Yeah,
if both of them stayed healthy.
Well, and speaking of this list, you know, the you think about the Magic and going from Tracy McGrady to Anthony Hardaway, Anthony Hardaway to Tracy McGrady.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice little run that you had, and then Shaq was mixed in there. They had some talent, nothing like what you were saying with the Rockets. But I was looking at they just missed each other, obviously within that franchise. But that's a hell of a run too. But yeah, the Yao. So I looked it up to kind of further your case here. I looked up PER for all these players, and then I added Yao to the mix. So the five players, PER, which for those that don't know, it's kind of like WAR in baseball. It gives you an overall sense of a player's value. It's like putting a single number on a player's value. So Jordan, if Jordan's 100, then everybody else is below that, right? Like that would be not that 100, that he would actually be 100. Although I'm curious to see what his PER would be. I'll look it up here in a minute. But here's the PER for each of them. I'm going to go in order from lowest to highest of the five that I gave you, and then I'm going to give you Yao Ming's. All right. Mm-hmm. So lowest of that list of five between Brandon Roy, Derrick Rose, Tracy McGrady, Grant Hill, Anthony Hardaway. Anthony Hardaway, lowest PER at 17.4. That surprised me.
Well, but isn't that also a product of how many years he was just hanging on, playing to collect a check and trying to get back at it when he was, you know, half of what he used to be?
Could be. All right, so Anthony Hardaway, a 17.4. Grant Hill, a 19. He's second lowest PER on the list because all these guys, you know, Brandon Roy, higher than both of those guys at 20. Tracy McGrady, Derrick Rose at 21.1, and the highest PER on the list of those five is Tracy McGrady at a 22.1.
Okay.
And then lastly, Yao Ming, 23.
Boom.
Yeah. And just so you're I did look it up. Michael Jordan has PER for his career, 27.9.
Think about that now. A 4-point difference between Yao Ming and Michael Jordan. Give me this about Yao Ming couldn't do this or couldn't do that, or he wasn't physical enough, or he didn't get enough block shots. Look, the guy was so physically gifted so many different ways. You don't know basketball, and you're about as naive as it gets if you're going to criticize that with those numbers that you just put out there, because the guy didn't get enough credit because everybody – and I'm the first to tell you that. I told you guys that story early on about when he first got in the league, everybody was like, oh, God. He's a worldwide phenomenon and he sucks. But when he really just got comfortable and you saw just fundamentally how, you know, playing basketball his whole life and what he's worked on, how much talent he had, you know, people compared him to Rick Smits. That's a slap in the face to Yao Ming because of how much ability he had all over the place compared to a Rick Smits who was an all-star center. So, I mean, that's something that people, I think, lose sight of. And again, locally here, because there was so much centered around, you know, the dejection of just how his career ended and how many things that didn't happen for this team. They forget how good he was for how long until he did go through the injuries. So,
who's the player when is it Bill Russell that everybody says was the greatest of all time? That, you know, because he was a big man and not like Jordan. That's who
I mean, Russell and
compare,
Chamberlain.
Right?
Yeah, Russell because he won all the championships. Chamberlain because he was so dominant. But again, he was dominant at a time when there wasn't a whole lot of guys his size to compete with him.
Well, if you want to go the PER route, Jordan has both of them beat with his 27.9. Wilt was a 26.1, and Bill Russell's was an 18.9. Yao Ming had a higher PER in his career than Bill Russell, was a few points behind Wilt. That's crazy, dude. And I have Kobe and LeBron. We can look at that on the other side, too.
Okay. All right, yeah. I mean, look, it's a great discussion to have because I think that, like I said, I'm always happy to give Yao the credit he deserves because it was heartbreaking for us, and I know it was heartbreaking for this city to see a guy that's the other thing, Barry, that I think gets lost in this is there's a lot of guys when they go through injuries like this that they just go, yeah, it's not for me. I'm not willing to put the work in. Yao was a dude that constantly was trying to get back out there and just did everything that they asked and more, trying to make sure he could. So that's what breaks your heart even more for him.
Yeah.
And shout out to Dr. Dre, by the way. It was Bobby Sura that was one of the guys that was a role player on some of those Rockets teams.
Oh, yeah.
They had a really, really good makeup of a team that just didn't get over the hump. So,
yep.
All right. We got plenty more to get to. And Barry mentioned there's some things that we can cover and that you guys can get involved with on some discussions. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. They got the best customer service in the business, and the Public Utilities Commission of Texas recognizes it by giving them 5 out of 5 stars. It's the best you can get. Call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. And they're going to walk you through asking you as many questions as you ask them until they can pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and the best rate and the best deal they can possibly get you. They're going to be 100% honest all the time. That means there are going to be sometimes where they have to tell you there's another company out there that can beat their rates and prices. They'll tell you who it is and how to get in touch with them because they know even if you don't go with them this time, there's going to be another time that you come back to them because you know that they were upfront and they weren't trying to screw you over. It's the way they do business. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit off your first bill. And we've had so many suspects and listeners that got on board with this and are so thankful that they got on with Infuse Energy. You can do the same. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
Came in like a wrecking ball.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be, and we want to give you some heads up. There's a lot of good things that are still happening around ESPN 97.5. Even though we cannot be with you and be out doing remotes and doing other things, our people are great people. Courtney, our promotions director, always thinking about ways to do great stuff. And it starts with the man with a plan with Sports Map and the Blitz and so many other things, Fred Fowler. He and our resident gambling aficionado, Jerry Bow, got together with Courtney and set up an online poker charity classic last weekend. And it raised over $2,000. And it was so successful, they decided they're going to do it again. They're going to do it this Saturday, April the 18th at 2 o'clock. So ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map are going to put it on. It's the second one. They're calling it the Houston Online Poker Charity Classic. So you can get involved. It'll be $50 with a $10 donation, which will go to two charities. Kids Meals, which delivers food to children in the Houston area, and Southeast Texas Food Bank in Beaumont, because we love B-Town and we love the 409. For more information and you can how to register, get to the editor's picks on sportsmap.com or email Courtney directly. Her email address is promotion@galmedia.com. It'll be worth your while. It'll be a lot of fun. It's safe. It's social distancing. It's online poker, and it's for a great cause.
Cool stuff they're doing, man. Really cool.
Yeah. Yep. Great stuff.
Somebody want to know, what's the theme for Wayback Wednesday? That was a text we got. It's a dual theme today, a little bit different. It's either songs that Bill O'Brien listens to, which was what I did in my hour, and Joel did songs that accurately reflect the sentiment of what people think about Bill O'Brien. Fair enough?
Fair enough. Okay. And we didn't publish the lists.
No.
So Nick came up with the idea. Kudos to Nick.
Yep.
So I want to make sure that Nick gets that, because we didn't have a topic and then he came up with it. And also, again, kudos to Nick, because he offered up 24 songs in case we all needed them.
So, by the way, somebody texted and said, what was the address for the bio pledge? I want to pass that along to some of my frontline friends.
Okay,
so we will get that for you. I know you've got the doc in front of you. I don't have it memorized, but we'll get that for you shortly. And while you're looking for that, Joel, I pulled up the PER, which is, again, like war, but for basketball. Mm-hmm. And we can do NBA, we can do ABA, or we can combine them. And I prefer to combine them, because you're including, you know, if you don't, you're excluding some folks. But the NBA, ABA leader. So the number one all time in PER is Michael Jordan. So just as a player efficiency rating, it's hands down Michael Jordan is the best. Not far behind him, LeBron James, 27.52. Jordan was a 27.9.
Frame that and save it so that freaking Shannon Sharp and everybody else can get a little bit of lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, LeBron James second. I'm going to give you one – well, I'll give you two guesses for number three. And I don't think you'll get it. Don't you Google it.
I'm not. I'm trying to think.
Who do you think number three on the list is? Now, this, remember, this could be past or present.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think number three is? It's the only other player that's ever played that has a 27 or higher PER.
Pete Maravich.
Nope. That's a pretty good guess. I'll give you a hint. They're still playing. No, Anthony Davis.
Really? Wow.
Anthony Davis is third on the list with a 27.5. LeBron is a 27.52. That's crazy.
Well, if you're Shannon Sharp, that's a stat that I'd like to skip. Skip that one. Because I believe LeBron James is the best player to ever play the game, Skip.
Yep. Shaq is fourth, and David Robinson is fifth. And then I'll just finish the top 10 for you. Wilt is sixth. Bob Pettit, seventh.
What?
Kevin Durant, eight. Yep. Chris Paul, nine. And number 10, James Harden.
I was going to say, don't say James Harden.
Yeah, number 10 on the list in PER, James Harden, all time, 24.75.
Well, maybe this list is a farce.
Ahead of Barkley, ahead of Jabbar, Duncan, Magic, Malone, Curry, Olajuwon. Olajuwon's 18th.
Well, but Harden is clearly the best Rocket of all time. oh, wait, that's a promo somewhere. Never mind.
Pretty wild,
yeah,
man.
I just, weird, wild stuff. I can't be on board with that.
Kobe is 27th, dude. Kobe 27th with a 22.90.
How do you explain that?
I don't know, man. But that's you want to say, oh, well, that number doesn't make sense. But when you look at the top couple of players that it ranks,
sure,
it kind of does. It's got Jordan, it's got LeBron, it's got Shaq. Because let's be real,
so you know
Shaq
what, Barry,
was one of the most dominant players of his era, yeah, or of any
no
era.
Doubt. Oh, look, Shaq was to today's era. Back in that era, the only problem was around Shaq were a lot of some gifted and somewhat as big, if not as strong, and you know, but at least as tall. Whereas Wilt just dominated because he was head and shoulders literally above everybody else. Shaq was as dominant or more dominant in his overall size. It's just that there were more athletically skilled players and bigger seven-footers around him on a consistent basis,
yeah,
so he couldn't just absolutely dominate.
Shaq played in the era of the big man and was the most dominant.
Think about Olajuwon and you.
Yeah, I was going to say Olajuwon was the most dominant. But, yeah, but I mean, and you know, Shaq came in. He was the young big man when those guys were on their way out. But they played each other. And they'll tell you Olajuwon was his toughest opponent ever. And he hated playing.
No, and I've talked to, you know, I know that for all the fun and games that he and Charles has had, and even Yao back in the day, when I talked to both of those guys, they said, quite honestly, they didn't see stars when they played, literally, not like being starstruck. When Shaq hit you, whether it be with an elbow, a shoulder, just his torso, whatever it was almost like that you almost had a mini concussion. I mean, that's how forceful.
Yeah.
He was. I mean, we're forgetting a guy that went in for a dunk, and we used to think Daryl Dawkins was something for breaking a backboard. He collapsed an entire rim in an NBA arena. I mean, the force that you have to have.
Yeah.
The only problem was, like I said, was he had competition, whereas Wilt had Bill Russell and vice versa. That was it. No one else had anybody that could match that. So,
And the other thing is because to put a kind of a bow on all this, because it brings it all full circle. Go out and look for the video of Yao versus Shaq. It was Yao's first time he ever faced Shaq, and Shaq talked so much smack about what he was going to do to Yao, and Yao put it on him. I think dunked on him and then blocked his shot.
Yeah, that first 6 minutes of that game back at the old Compaq Center was special if you're a Yao Ming fan.
And go look, go Google, or go search it on YouTube. And then from that moment on, I think Shaq always respected Yao Ming.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. The respect was then earned. By the way, the address for the Damaris Barbecue, parking lot, West Loop North, 18th Street, Thursday. Thursday, this Thursday.
That's for
first
the bio
responders
pledge. That's for,
and medical professionals. Yep.
That was for the texter asking about the bio pledge.
Correct. So there is that. And by the way, we can give you our list at some point, but they'll make more sense to you if you don't know all the titles and artists or aren't familiar with some of the songs we put in regards to Bill O'Brien. But we've got plenty more to get to as we wrap up hour number two. That means we still got 1 hour to go of the big show. 60 minutes on the clock. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.